A reading from the prophet Isaiah. In those days Hezekiah fell ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, came and said to him, "The Lord says this, put your affairs in order, for you are going to die, you will not live." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and addressed his prayer to the Lord. "Ah, the Lord, remember, I beg you, how I have behaved faithfully and with sincerity of heart in your presence, and done what is right in your eyes." And Hezekiah shed many tears. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. "Go and say to Hezekiah, the Lord, the God of David, your ancestor, says this, I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will cure you in 3 days' time. You shall go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. I will save you from the hands of the king of Assyria. I will protect the city. Bring a fig poultice," Isaiah said, "apply it to the ulcer and he will recover." Hezekiah said, "What is the sign to tell me that I should be going up to the temple of the Lord?" Here, Isaiah replied, "Is a sign from the Lord that he will do what he has said. Look, I shall make the shadow cast by the declining sun go back 10 steps on the steps of Ahaz." The sun went back the 10 steps by which it had declined. This is the word of the Lord. Today's reading is followed by a canticle rather than a psalm. The canticle is, in fact, the next passage in Isaiah. It's a famous hymn about death, about dying. And it's worth reading, although in this passage we have only part of the full canticle. Suppose the prayer of Hezekiah as he turns his face to the wall. "I said, in the noon of my life I have to depart for the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the rest of my years. I said I shall never see the Lord again in the land of the living, never again look on any man of those who inhabit the earth. My tent is pulled up and thrown away like the tent of a shepherd. Like a weaver you roll up my life to cut it off from the loom." It's a strange story, Hezekiah. Hezekiah is dying. Yeah, we discover really his death is about Israel itself. When he's offered 15 years of life, the Lord adds, "I will save you from the hands of the king of Assyria. I will protect the city." It's not just about Hezekiah. Hezekiah is a king. It's never just about him. The same way we who live in the body of Christ, who have much greater responsibilities than Hezekiah ever had, we may not know it in our simple lives, don't simply live for ourselves, we live for something greater than ourselves. We live for that life of Christ that we share with the world. Hezekiah himself doesn't use his 15 years of life well. There's a passage that comes after this where Hezekiah, having been saved from Assyria, invites envoys from the king of Babylon to his city. In his pride, he shows him all the things of the city. And Isaiah warns him that this will mean that all the things he's shown to the envoys will one day belong to the king of Babylon, but not in Hezekiah's time. And Hezekiah said, "This is good news and not bad, because it won't happen in this life." That's not simple selfishness. He's aware that after all, if evil comes, the best we can hope for is to stave it off. It does show, though, that he's no real sense of why he's alive, and also how to face death. Hezekiah is very moving, but he doesn't understand how to face death. Because we face death by living for the future. We face death by believing in life. And it's something that the Jews had discovered. They have a great sense of personal death, of the death of the individual. And also need to preserve the future. Tell this to the generations to come. Tell this to your children and your children's children. That's just the words of someone who's facing up to death, who's aware that they'll die. Very different from the strange egoism of the Greeks, or the belief of the Romans that the gods would always protect them. the gods would preserve this city forever. A city that too had beliefs in gods. Didn't understand that God himself is concerned not just with the city's preservation, but the type of city, what it's to be. Hezekiah doesn't understand it either. Doesn't understand that he has to live for the future. That's why the little miracle that gives him a sign of life is actually simply about the fact that God can stop history in his tracks, but doesn't choose to. The sun goes back 10 steps. Time is reversed. But only for a little while. Time must go on. The future must come. History must continue. 10 steps back, but then sun goes forward. Sun always sets and always rises. And Hezekiah himself is a sign that we ourselves have to live for something much more than the life that we belong to. I'm a hospital chaplain in my day job, and I've seen quite a few people die in many ways. And to me, it's not courage that matters. It's not how they face death. Many people are very brave in facing death who aren't really aware of the meaning of their death. There's no simple way of saying how you'll face death. Some quite devout people face it with great fear, even terror, great sadness. But they may have a wisdom greater than those who simply ignore death. It's not courage that matters, but hope. Hope is that sense that out of everything that happens in life, every bad thing, something good will come. What we live for is something beyond our life. Not just the next world, the kingdom, but also in this world. The things we leave, the things we give for the future. As Archbishop Romero said, we are prophets of a future that is not our own. Living for the future, living for hope, living for the sign of a time that does not go backwards, but always forward, always nearer, always coming close to God. As the poet, the Scottish medieval poet Henderson said, the more of age, the nearer heaven's bliss. But heaven's bliss is not just for us, it's for the whole world.